Psalm 19. The heaven, the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night searcheth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, we thank thee for your goodness, mercy, and love, for allowing us this time that we can assemble as a New Testament Baptist church, and that we can sing these praises to your name, and then we can worship you in spirit and in truth as through the Word of God. Lord, today we are thankful for each person that's present. You know the heart and the need of every person here. For those that are saved, we pray, Father, that under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that you may lead, guide, and direct them. Cause them, Lord, to see you high and lifted up. And then, Lord, for those that are unsaved, I pray even, Lord, today that you may be pleased to open the heart of some lost sinner, that you would grant to them repentance and faith, and they would come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We pray on behalf of these that are in sorrow, Lord, that you would comfort and undergird them with your love and your care. And we pray especially for those, Lord, that are sick, that are in the hospital and various places, Lord, that need you in a special way, that you'd be very close and very dear to them. We pray for the elderly of our church, that you would bless them, Lord. We also pray for the young, that you would, even our youngest ones, Lord, that it would please you at a very early age to save them. Lord, help us to live our lives before them, that we might be an example, and pray, Father, that we'd never be a stumbling block, but we'd always be seemingly a stepping stone, and that we would be a tremendous influence and help for that which is good and glorious in your sight. Now, Father, I pray that you would guide and direct me as I preach this message. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. I notice around this time of year that, and especially when you look in the paper or you watch television, that there's different places that factories and different places where they work, and they get together and they have dinners, and many times the purpose for this, and sometimes they'll even call it a rewards banquet. I thought about, now what are some of the things that they reward people for? Maybe this is not always true in the factory, but it can be true maybe at school or other places. And one of the things that I believe that people are rewarded for many times is attendance. You know, attendance plays a very important role where you work. People want you to be there. And many times there is even that offering of that reward for that person that has a real good attendance. But then there's also rewards given for time served or years served. How long? You know, I look through these every time I see them, and I see if there's anybody I can see that I know. I always, you know, it'll start off usually 5 years, and then 10 years, and 15 years, and 20 years, and 25 years. And I don't know if they go much higher than that. But anyway, and I'll read through there, and I'll say, you know, is so-and-so in here, or can I see so-and-so? And you know how it is. You're that way. And this is for so many years that you have supposedly served faithfully with the company. And they recognize you. Sometimes they'll give you a little pin, you know, maybe 5 years, 10 years, or something like that, you know. And now there's a sense in which they're rewarding you. It's recognition. And then I believe that there can even be rewards not only for attendance and years served, but there can be rewards for the quality of work. They can say, the greatest recognition is, you know, that, well, you've been with us a long time and you've always been a good, faithful person in attendance, and you've really done us a good job. Now that's a reward. To me, that is really a blessing, and I'm always glad to hear somebody like that. I was going through our favorite store, which is Walmart, and this one lady, you know, was just eating it up. Boy, she was going through it. I said, boy, you're busy. She said, yeah, I love every minute of it. Her name's Nan. She said, I just love it. Said, I try to punch up, I forget how much she said every year on the cash register. Said, I'm just $140,000 short right now, but said, I'll get it in December. Easy. I thought, that's the way it ought to be. I mean, now that's the way, that's really, you know, I've preached to you all a lot about this. That's the way it ought to be. You ought to have your heart in it. Whatever you're doing, you ought to have your heart in it. I thought about, you know, you like to go by a person like that. You know, you like for them to check you out. And I've been able to take her a little sign that, you know, I've got a little sign that says, don't straighten out this mess on my desk. You'll confuse my system. You know, I've been able to take her one of them. She said she'd really enjoy having it. But anyway, there's rewards that are given. And I thought about all of this and what he said here. And the greatest reward that will ever be to the child of God is when Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now that'll be greater than anything else that you'll ever receive. But I thought about this verse of scripture that is right here in this Psalm 19, verse 11. And he goes back up here, and all that he has said here, you know, he's talked about the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing of the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, the fear of the Lord is clean, judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And he said, more to be desired than gold. And he said, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And look what he says in verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. But he says, and in keeping them, there's great reward. It's a marvelous trophy of God's grace for a hell-bound sinner, undeserving, to be saved by the grace of God, and by the grace of God to be able to live for the Lord and then be rewarded for doing it. To me, that's the most amazing trophy of God's grace. I'm not saying I don't understand it. What I'm saying is, it's a trophy of God's grace to do such a thing. Now, the Bible speaks much of rewards, and a lot of times people have this thing all confused. Now the Bible speaks time and time again. Listen to just a few scriptures, and I'll try to go into these just a little bit after a while. But the first one, Matthew chapter 16, and there in verse 27 of that 16th chapter of Matthew, these words are spoken that we might recognize the importance of reward, for he says here in the 27th verse in chapter 16, he says this. He said, "For what is a man profited?" Now notice, in verse 26, verse chapter 16, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now we're getting that, and look at verse 27. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Now there's a broad scope in which this is true of all men without exception, but the reward that I'm speaking of this morning is a reward for those that belong to the Lord. Every man in that sense, every man that is saved by the grace of God. Now we will be rewarded according to our works. Now the unsaved at the great white throne judgment is going to be rewarded too according to their works. Because they're going to be degrees of punishment in hell that they are going to receive. So God is just in this. But Jesus is teaching here that every man shall receive a reward according to his works. I believe one of the places perhaps, and I want to go in this a little bit deeper here in a few moments, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll go over there with me, because here is the confusing thing today that many make of this, and they believe that a reward of your works, some people believe the reward of your works is salvation. That's not true. Now think with me. Because if it was, that'd mean you'd be saved by works. But see, you have received salvation, and those that are saved are going to receive or lose rewards. But now, and I believe that this is one of the good passages of Scripture. There's others, but this is one, especially here in the 14th verse of 1 Corinthians 3. He says, "If any man's work abide," and you've got to remember now, any man he's talking about is a man that's saved. And you got to keep this in mind. He said, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Now, a little bit later, we're going to see as to whether or not it's going to abide. We're going to see as to what the test is that is put to our works. Much today is done to be seen of men, being done because of men, because of the pressure of men, and the motive's all wrong. And what they're doing is all wrong. And this is true of many people that are saved, and they're not going to receive any reward for those things. But now, even as in the Gospel of John, 2 John, and therein verse 8, and I believe this ought to be noticed and ought to be taken to our hearts, for he says there in 2 John and in verse 8, now he said, "Look to yourselves." Now, you know who's responsible to serve the Lord? You are. I am. You know there is a sense of accountability that we have for other people because they're under us and things like that. But you know who you're accountable for is you. You are accountable for yourself. And I believe that this teaches this, for it says in 2 John here and in verse 8, "Look to yourselves," notice, "that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Now, brother, what we're doing this morning in the service of the Lord and how we're doing it and whether it is upon our hearts or whether we're doing it out of pressure or because of somebody else will determine as to whether or not we will receive a reward for even being here this morning in the house of the Lord. And I believe this is clearly taught. And so rewards is a Bible doctrine, but the second thing I want us to make sure of that we understand, it is to be distinguished from salvation. It must be clearly distinguished. We ought not to confuse the teaching of the Word of God on the subject of rewards with those on the subject of salvation. and many do that very thing. Some make salvation a reward for works. That's what they say. They say, well, I took care of grandma, or I was good, I went to my neighbor, and therefore, surely if anybody is going to make it, I will. That don't have nothing to do with whether or not you make it. That has nothing to do with your salvation. And you know, I have people tell me often, you know, and they'll say that how good somebody says they are or they were, and I have to just deflate them. I just have to say, well, now that won't save you. It won't save you. There's nothing wrong with being good to people. Everybody ought to be good to their neighbor. They ought to be good to their family. They ought to be good to their wife. They ought to be good to their husband. They ought to be good to their children. But that won't save you. What saves you is whether or not that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Whether or not that God, in His infinite mercy and love, has come to you and convicted your heart and brought you to the place of repentance and faith. That's what saves you. This needs to be distinguished. Now, I believe there are scripture after scripture. Salvation is to be distinguished from rewards. First of all, salvation is to be said of grace without works. Listen to the Apostle Paul so many times. There's some scriptures that I want to document this with. 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you'll notice there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 8 and in verse 9, notice this. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, 2 Timothy 1:8, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now notice. And he leads right from that power of God into this verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. There's so many today that are preaching, and they'll say that you're saved by grace, and then they say, well, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and if you don't do this, or you don't do that, if you're not baptized, or if you're not a member of that certain group of people, or if you don't do keep up certain things, then you're not saved. That's not what the Bible says. It says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Now, I'm going to tell you, God knew all we'd ever be and all we'd ever do. He knew that. But that wasn't the reason that He chose you or He chose me. The reason was in Himself. The cause was in Himself. And the love was within Himself. And He set His love upon us as ungodly. He set His love upon us as sinners. And left to ourselves, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, and left to ourselves, we would continually go away from God. But you'll see here, but according to what? In this verse. According to, notice, His own, not ours. But according to His own purpose and grace. Where did this come from? Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. And I believe that we see this great truth here, how that first of all, salvation is said to be of grace without works. Thank God after we're saved by the grace of God, then we can work for Him for His honor, glory, and His praise. The Old Testament examples that was used of David, Abraham, and others when Paul was writing in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, and he makes this so very clear and so very plain when he said in that fourth chapter, verse 4 down through verse 6, when he said, now to him that worketh is the reward. What's it say? Look at that. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now look. But to him that worketh not. That's just the opposite of what the human nature thinks, isn't it? Oh, you got to do something. You got to get in there. You got to do something. But alone. That's why our churches are filled with so many people today that won't attend church, won't tithe, won't read their Bible, won't pray, won't faithfully serve the Lord. It's because there are people that have been filled by what they've done rather than what God's done in them and through them. And they have not ever had an experience of grace. But look what he says in this verse here. He says this. Now, but to him that worketh not, but notice, but believeth on him. You ever heard somebody say, well, now, there's more to it than just believing. Pray tell me, what is it? If there's more to it than just believing, what is it? Repentance and faith are inseparable graces of God. When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have already repented of their sins. And when they have repented of their sins, they have come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also described it, the blessings of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And how thankful I am for these great truths that are taught in the Word of God. The 11th chapter here and in verse 6 of Romans has this to say, and if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. For if it be of works, then is it no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. And so we must get it in our hearts and our minds that people are not saved by works. They are saved by the grace of God. That's exactly what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And he goes on and says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't boast about being saved. You've been saved by the mighty grace of God. You are a wretched, hell-deserved sinner. I am too. And we don't have anything to deserve the merit of God, but God in his infinite grace has saved us. I'm glad it's that way. I wouldn't want it any other way, would you? So don't toot your horn. I don't know the Lord's got a horn, but I was going to say, toot the Lord's horn. I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but anyway, toot the horn of grace. That's what to do. So rewards, if you'll notice, are said to be according to works. And that's very clearly what it brings out. Now, I want us to go back there to 1 Corinthians 3. I said I would go into this just a little bit, and I want to take just enough time to go into this some here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice, as the Apostle Paul was preaching and teaching this great truth here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and notice what he is going at. He talks about there's divisions, there's carnality. He talks about being spiritual and being carnal. He talks about that there are some that wanted to be followers of men, and you know, they wanted to exalt men. And then he said, you know, he explains to him, he says it's like this. He says, one comes along, one preacher, one man of God comes along, and he plants the gospel. Another comes along and he waters with the gospel. Another comes along with the same gospel, and then God saves people. He gives increase. One planteth, one water, but God gives the increase. Now, I've said this through the years. I like to plant, and I like to water. And I sure like to be there when the increase comes. Now, it's not always so. It's not always that way. And I recognize, but we are laborers together. And we must remember, even if we just planted, God uses for his glory and for his honor. And great will be our reward. If we just water, God uses, and great will be our reward. If we were there, if we didn't plant, we didn't water, we was there when the increase came. God used us. And great will be the reward of all three. So that's why he says, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. exactly what he means by that in this passage of Scripture. But now notice verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now look at verse 13. Every man's work. He's talking in the context of the wise master builder. I'm going to stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's my last thing, where rewards are going to be given. I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day, and what I've done in the service of the Lord as a preacher of the gospel, it's going to all be there. And whether and what I've used and how that I've done it, and he goes on and said in this, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now some of these things that people use, they're going to be burned up. There's when all your gimmicks and your gadgets and your little frills and things you think up yourself and trick people into doing, get people to do, get them to move, make decisions, bow your head, hold up your hand, it's going to all go up and smoke. Every bit of it. And he talks about these materials as wood, hay, and stubble. Put the fire to them and see what happens. But then there is that which is of course gold, and which is silver, and which is precious stones. And what that gold and silver and precious stones is how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and how that we're to go into all the world, and we're to preach this gospel to every creature, and then as it pleases God, God opens the heart of lost sinners, and he brings them to repentance and faith, and they receive Jesus Christ. You don't have to twist the arm, make them walk an aisle, or do anything. Because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts, and it's the Holy Spirit that draws, it's the Holy Spirit that opens the heart, it's the Holy Spirit that quickens, it's the Holy Spirit that makes alive. And when that happens, what you got? You've got a person that's saved. Saved by the grace of God. You got a person that is teachable. But then he goes on and says this in verse 14. If any man's work abide, see, the fire has been put to it. Everything that we do as a child of God, as preachers and as a child of God in the work of the Lord, their fire test is going to be put to it. And he says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If it don't abide, what's he going to do? Next verse tells us. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now what's going to be burned is his work. See, you works. There's works you can do in the name of the Lord, and one day they'll be all burned up. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. A lot of people said, well, they're real sincere and they're real earnest. It don't make any difference how sincere and how earnest you are if you're not doing it God's way according to God's word. And in God's will. All of this is important. It may look good in the eyes of the world. It may look good in the eyes of this church. It may look good in the eyes of the brothers and sisters of Christ. But what, brother, brother, the test is going to come there before. And that's true with my life. And that's true with your life. And that's true with every one of us. So salvation is not according to works, but rewards is according to works. And we must notice this. Secondly, salvation is often spoke of as something that has already taken place. But rewards are future. Now, a lot of people want to get their reward right now. Well, I got news for you. That'll go up in smoke. That'll be burned. It really will. You ever notice how people like to have the preeminence? I was talking to a fellow on the phone. I was telling Brother Peter about this. I was talking to a fellow on the phone.
I was getting him some questions. He'd give me some questions back, and he was real sarcastic. And I said, I should have said this, and I don't know why I didn't. I should have said, "Oh, I've met you before. Your name is Diotrephes. You love to have the preeminence in the church." But I didn't. I should have. Fellows like that need to know they are Diotrephes. Somebody ought to tell them. Somebody in the church ought to tell them. And the preacher ought to tell them. Well, a fellow like that, what's going to happen to him? I don't think he's going to be surprised too much, but isn't he going to be shocked when everything goes up in smoke? Now, people, this is serious. This is a serious thing. Rewards are spoken always of being that in the future. And third thing, the difference between salvation and reward is salvation cannot be lost. You can't lose salvation, but you can lose rewards. What did I read there in 2 John? And there in verse 8, what did the word, "if any man suffer loss"? It says here, looking to yourselves. That's what it says here in 2 John 8. Looking to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you can lose reward. And that's exactly what I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There in verse 14 and 15, "If any man's work abide which is built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So I believe that these great truths that we have there are those people that are saved, the works of some will abide, and they will receive reward. And then there's others, the works of these others shall be burned, and they shall fail to receive reward for their work, but they will be saved. And so these passages of Scripture show a difference between salvation and rewards. Do you ever think about standing one day and facing the Lord? Brother, we'll have to give an account. There will be an accounting. Now, there is a difference in rewards, because it says every man shall see reward according to his labor, according to his work. Now, I believe we'll share in rewards with some people. I believe this is how simple it is. And you find this example throughout the Bible. Old Testament, you had what they called the prophet's chamber and the room, and then you had places where that the man of God would come to a house and they would put them up and feed them. And I believe that there are people that will share in my rewards. It'll be people that have prayed for me to preach under the leadership of the Holy Spirit for the furtherance of the gospel. It'll be people, and I say this without blushing, it'll be people that have fed me. And little, they might just think they're feeding me, but in essence, they're sharing in my reward of preaching the gospel. And you know, all of these things that sometimes we completely, and so there will be a difference, but then there will be a reward that I will receive, a reward that you will receive. There's a gift that God has given you. There's a work that God has given you to do in this church that He's not given anybody else, and you'll receive a reward for faithfully doing that. So there will be a difference in these rewards. Well, I know that what Paul said when he wrote in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And listen to what he said there in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And in verse 41 through verse 43, when he said this, he said, "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory." Now we all say, by the grace of God and for the glory of God, but we all will differ in the grace, the measure of grace that God has given to us, and the ability that He has given to us to live for Him and to serve Him. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And so there is a difference, even as the glory. And even Daniel said, that they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel chapter 12, and there in verse 3. But what we must remember is the works that are to be done scripturally. Do you ever let what other people think about you influence you? Too much. That's right, brother. Too much. We do too much. And really, they're not going to have to stand at the judgment of Christ for you. You're going to have to stand there. And people say, well, they wanted me to do it. Now listen. It's good to be friendly. It's good to be courteous. It's good to be compassionate. It's good to be congenial. But don't let people dictate how you serve the Lord. And determine how you serve the Lord. You be faithful. You be faithful unto the Lord. In the capacity that God has given you. So we find that works are to be done scripturally. Paul said, and he wrote to Timothy, he said, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. What's that mean? Except he do it according to the way that God says it ought to be done. The Lord's work is just not to be done any haphazard way. That's why he said that he's not the author of confusion. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about that. And he talked about there was wood, hay, and stubble in 1 Corinthians 3. And so I believe that there is so much today that is done that is not done God's way. He said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And he expects his people to follow him. And not only must we do the one thing that is scriptural, but we must have a scriptural motive even when we're doing that thing that's scriptural. Sometimes, you know, people become hard, you know, and calloused. And they say, oh, you've got to do it this way. The scripture says this way. Yeah, but you've got to do it in love. And you've got to do it in compassion. You've got to do it in leadership of the Holy Spirit. Don't let truth cause you to be a tyrant. You know, sometimes men abuse the truth of wives being subjected to your husbands. They have these things. And they are tyrants when it comes to their wife. And there's not going to be a reward for that. You know the truth and you're following the truth. But you become a monster in doing it. And your motive is not right. And you forget all about where it says that you're to nourish and cherish her even as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And that gets into the motivating part of it and the motive. And Paul said when he wrote, and this is a verse that I believe that we really need to take to heart, Philippians chapter 2, and there in verse 3, when he said this, and I believe he talked about, when he said, fulfill ye my joy in verse 2, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And then this is what he said in verse 3. He said, Philippians 2, 3, let nothing be done through strife nor vainglory. You can have the truth and be hated for it. I don't mean by atheist. I mean by people that are saved. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. When your truth makes you a self-righteous hypocrite, then you're in big trouble with the Lord. And that happens so many times. Brother, I tell you, I've thought about this through the years. Our church has believed and stood for some truths that no other church in this county stands for. But it ought not to cause us to look down our noses at them. It ought to cause us to be thankful. And it ought to cause us to want to put forth the truth that others may hear the truth and know the truth. And the only way they'll ever receive it is in love. And love is the motivating spring. And I believe this is very, very, very important. And so Paul said, I have laid the foundation of the built thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And so all of this is going to come about. And I'm going to close here. Now, where will these awards be given? Judgment seat of Christ. That's where
Two places right quickly, and I'm closing with this. Romans 14 and 2 Corinthians 5. This is where that we read about the judgment seat of Christ, and it makes it real clear and it makes it real plain when he says here in Romans 14, 10 through 12, he says, "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us," and you notice how he says that, "every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." And I believe that he brings this great truth out here. But in 2 Corinthians, and there in chapter 5, and in verse 9, and in verse 10, he says this, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And I always read the next verse. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences."